Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning. I'm Deborah Simpson, the host of Speaking with Influence. Today I'm interviewing Sylvia Becker-Hill. She's an international award-winning speaker and author. More importantly, though, she delivers brain-based, content-rich, impactful, and entertaining presentations that engage audiences and cause a substantial shift in their actions. She's worked with Fortune 500 companies as a top corporate executive coach, leadership trainer, and facilitator. So she's spoken to many people at international conferences about the powership or the leadership we're going to hear about today. So on stage, she deliberately uses props, wigs, and a multitude of outfits and different accents to embody different archetypes. She provides solid content experientially for her audiences, and Sylvia is just simply a genius at the complex neuroscientific concepts and translating those into lighthearted, easy to understand, and actionable information. Sylvia, welcome to the show. It's great to have you as a guest today.
Thank you, Deborah. My pleasure.
I wanted to start with how you got into this. If you could share just a little bit about you and how you came to be so interested in women in leadership.
Yes, thank you. So I started to work as a top executive coach in the late 90s back in Germany. And statistically, most of my clients at that time, over 90%, were men. So 1 out of 10 were women. And the topics, the questions, what they needed from me was so different from what all the male executives asked about. They had challenges which we now call the internal glass ceilings inside corporations. So they had questions like, how can I lead successfully without compromising my sense of integrity or authenticity as a woman? Men never had that question. So in the first years, I became more and more intrigued. Who are these women? What are their needs? What do they differently need from men to be successful? So I started to really analyze and capture the different patterns of the questions, the tools, the skills male executives presented in the work with me and women did. And at that time, in the late 90s, it was still the time where we women were superwomen. We believed we had to be more male than every man in order to succeed in the male-dominated environments. You probably remember these horrible business suits with the shoulder pads to give us a more triangle body shape like men. So it was a fascinating, pioneering time because leadership was considered to be simply something male and not something in the concept of women's careers.
And so why is it now so important for women to emerge as leaders in corporate America?
Because historically, we are at a very exciting crossroad. It has shown that, and you can say since especially the recent recession, that the old way of managing and leading, the old way how we constructed business and corporations, it's too inhumane for men and women. So these old style systems, they are collapsing worldwide. More and more companies stop functioning in these old paradigms of thinking and believing where it's all about forth and doing and pressure and fighting and the old metaphors of leadership coming from war or high competitive sports, they don't serve humanity any longer from a sustainability consciousness level. So there's a new paradigm emerging of true collaboration, of true partnership. So more and more women have to step up and become leaders in partnership with men. And statistically, we are at a time where more women than men are leaving colleges and higher levels of education. More women than men are coming into the workforce. So since 3 years, we have more women in the United States working than men. So there is a huge gap for top leadership education for women, and there's a gap of the whole discussion, the conversation you and I are having here today. How does leadership of women look like? How is it different from men? Or is it not different? And how can we support women to really get into the right educational programs to learn what it means to be a truly successful, powerful female leader?
And how are you using speaking to reach that demographic of corporate women and impart on them the different aspects of leadership and how they can evolve into the leaders that they want and we need them to be today?
Great question. In the past, I worked mainly behind closed doors, one-to-one executive coaching with men and women. And obviously, that is very limited. And I have such a big passion to have a global impact, to reach more women and to reach more corporations, to raise the level of awareness of the importance of female leaders. So simply, public speaking, keynote speaking, is a vehicle for my life's purpose to get the message out. Secondly, women learn through community. Women are not retreating into a male cave to pour over a book. Women's brain get activated hormonally in a different way when they are in a big circle of a group. So conferences are a space where women tap into that phenomena. They create a tribe, they create a powerful group where they feel safe, where they develop new ideas through the discussion, through the sharing with others. So having the honor to be on stage and addressing bigger groups of corporations, of associations, of women's circles and groups allows me to help these women to awaken the pleasure and the longing to step up into leadership. And safety is the key for that, because after 7,000 years of patriarchal cultures, most women subconsciously, we have learned that it's not safe to be a female leader, that we get attacked or criticized, or worst case, even our life is in danger when we stand up for our truth, when we speak up, when we start to lead. So to create big public group safe spaces for women to talk about leadership, to ask their questions and get them answered, that is a crucial global need to develop more female leaders. And I can step into that space, create that space, foster it, empower it, and can reach more women with the knowledge they need to be fully realized female leaders.
Can you give us one example of your speaking to and working with women and how it maybe transformed a woman or a group of women's lives?
Yes. For example, one of my keynotes deals with emotional intelligence. And as science develop and neuroscience and our knowledge about how the brain works, how hormones work, how emotions impact our decision-making and how we lead, we have to acknowledge that some things we learned in the past are not really true. So, for example, women, when they step first into a male-dominated environment, they're confronted with a business world where emotions are suppressed, where it's all about the belief when you're a professional, you don't show any emotions. So then there was this phase where a lot of books or theories were expressed that it's for a woman empowering to step into her emotionality and have the courage to share those emotions. which now turns out to be hurting a lot of women. Because when you step into your emotionality too strongly, you trigger cascading physiological actions in your body, which make your voice stumble, you start to sweat, you come across as less confident, which then is perceived by your teams and it has a negative effect on your efficiency as a leader. So there's a third way, instead of suppressing or expressing emotionality, is to learn how to manage your emotions, to understand, to distinguish what are emotional reactions I shouldn't act on, and what is, for example, my inner intuition. And training women, women have such a beautiful and powerful intuition, helping them to make situations, the right decisions quickly, but to be able to distinguish what is an emotional reaction I shouldn't act on and what is my intuition guiding me in the right direction. This kind of training is not something business schools, colleges, universities offer. So by being able to, in my keynote speeches, to give them examples and guide them through a life exercise right now on the spot to feel into their own body and listen to their mind chatter to distinguish, okay, what are emotional reactions and mind chatter I shouldn't react to, and what is my intuition telling me the right priority, the right wise way to react in this situation, that is gold worth. That has changed people's life, I can humbly say, all around the world.
And are you seeing in your speaking corporations are receptive to your message and interested in fully developing the leadership they have for women in their corporations?
Yes, more and more and more, because they understand that most women they have, their high potentials, if they are not offering them the right support through mentoring, through training, through coaching, these high potentials, they don't experience that they can live their internal values, that they can't live their authenticity and sense of integrity. And sadly, in the past, they stepped out at around the two levels before the board. So these cost corporations painful amount of money in first investing into high potentials, and then they are not going through the full path to the C-level. So by now understanding that more and more corporations are investing big budgets into creating internal new programs of mentoring, training, and coaching for women, and initiatives which are for men and women, which is crucial because it's about ultimately partnership between men and women in the workforce to create cultural shifts where outdated beliefs are dropped. For example, that the way women communicate or the way women develop visions, which in the past was considered as something too vague or too fragile, is now empowered to be seen as an added perspective, which brings way more creativity and way more new, sometimes surprising solutions to old ways of thinking, which kept corporations stuck in old paradigms and problems. So by realizing the potential and value women bring to the table, and also the need that corporations have to offer something of value, of a safe space where women can express their integrity and authenticity in a way which is healthy for them. If corporations don't do that, they lose these high potentials, and more corporations are definitely realizing that and are acting upon that.
So what I'm hearing you say is that this is really a matter of retaining these women because they're valuable employees and have been invested into by the corporation. So developing their leadership and helping them be on par to the men in the corporation is a strong retention value for the corporation.
Perfectly summarized. Yes, exactly that.
I felt I got a few too many corporations in that summary. Thank you. Sometimes we speakers stumble it as well. And how has now you're out there looking for speaking opportunities, where are you looking to be able to share your message? What kind of platforms are you looking for?
Platforms who either have a high membership level of professional women or platforms, because I love speaking to groups of men too who have the commitment to support female leadership inside their organization. Because as I said, women bring different point of views, different worldviews, different values to the table, which broaden the possibilities of creative solutions to old problems. So corporations, associations, organizations, they need more female leaders on top level. So any kind of organization and association who's interested and even better committed to get to that goal would be a perfect platform to share my message and create measurable benefit for them. Because when they have less high potentials dropping out, more female leaders staying in their organization long term, it not only saves the money, it serves the bottom line in the long run.
And while we're at it, for the listeners, why don't you share how people can get in touch with you if they'd like to invite you to come in and present to their corporation, want to get a hold of some of your books? What are some of the best ways for them to get in touch with you?
So the easiest is really to go to my online hub, which is my webpage, where they will find a big button for anything related to the speaking and anything related to my books. And my hub is www.uberwomen.com. And Uber is spelled in the international way, which is U-E-B-E-R, and then the plural form of women.com. I repeat, uberwomen.com, and there they have a big button for speaking where they find videos, testimonials, my speaker one sheet to download, some examples of keynote topics, and also a big button for the books I already have published and which are also in the making.
And speaking of the books that you've had published, you just recently, in fact a few days ago, published a book, The 12 Leadership Powers for Successful Women. I'm sure that your desire to see more women in leadership in corporate America and in large associations is what inspired you to write the book. But why don't you just share a little bit about what you feel the 12 leadership powers are for successful women?
Thank you, my dear. The 12 leadership powers for a successful woman compiled here in this book is meant to be some sort of curricula for education, for training, for coaching, for self-research for female executives and female leaders. They are the result of my last 18 years of working with top executives, men and women, because after the end of every assignment, I always ask my clients a few weeks or months later, after they implement it, they are back into their everyday lives, what were the one, two, or three golden nuggets you took away from our work? What is really making the biggest difference? So over 18 years, I captured the answers. I was seeing more and more patterns in the answers. I clustered them. I analyzed them. I cross-referenced them with the research about leadership and management and neuroscience. And the results are these 12 powers where I just give a few examples. For example, the power of total alignment, the alignment between your conscious and your subconscious mind, the alignment between your inner different values and your outer reality, the alignment between the different roles we have. For example, a woman, normally we are still in a society where women live a life where they have to fulfill way more different roles. For example, being the wife, the mother, the daughter, the volunteering head of a committee at PTA meetings, all these different roles female leaders are in, they have to be aligned to support her in her productivity, efficiency, and her health. If the success level of this female leader would go down, and worst case, her health would be threatened. So the power of alignment, even though it's important for men as well, has a completely different priority than it has for women. And then, for example, the power of ego love. The ego is considered, sadly, historically, as something very negative. And women have been educated to be not egoistic, not to show their ego, to always fight their own ego. But when you turn your ego into your partner, realizing your ego is a part in your brain which is committed for your safety and survival, then you can turn around a lot of fears and energy, which was captured in that part, you can turn it around as fuel for your dreams and goals. So how to manage your own ego is a crucial skill most women have never been in contact with through all their educational journey. So the 12 leadership powers in this book are giving women a guideline and an inspiration. I already heard from some readers that they are using it beside their desk or their nightstand and are reading every day like a bit of a inspirational input, one chapter, because the book is designed very condensed to be read. The chapters are short, so you can read 2-3 pages a day and it gives you a boost of energy. Plus, the book comes with some free downloadable gifts from my webpage, which are helping women to rewire the brain through repetition of power statements and specific exercises they can integrate in their everyday life.
And what would you like to see coming out of being able to present to women about these 12 leadership powers and getting a copy of your book in their hands? What transformation in corporate America would you like to see?
The really fundamental biggest one, which is a historic earthquake, is to accept that leadership in its essence is gender neutral. Leadership is not something which is male or from men for us. Historically, leadership was considered it's something owned by men, and that is outdated. History, evolution is already at a different place. And now our brains, our subconscious mind, and how we are wired and biased has to catch up with that. So the biggest goal is really, really to make leadership something natural and gender neutral so that women can embrace it with ease and grace and efficiency and productivity without having to fear that they lose their femininity, their authenticity, their integrity, without paying a price, which would be a too big sacrifice for them to make. So as soon as we will be able to really make this historic switch, then we will stop seeing the dropout from all these wonderful high potentials, and we will see way more top-level teams where we have 50-50 men and women working together for the benefit of the overall of the community they are in and the corporations and the bottom line.
And having the men and women working together 50-50, do you think that is that an easy goal to accomplish? Or does the male side need some education as well about female leadership?
It's not an easy task, and yet the evolutionary trends worldwide show we are going, thanks God, into that direction. And my life's purpose I like to summarize by the two numbers 30-30, adding 30% of female leaders in the next 30 years in all sections of society and globally. And in some countries, that's easier to do because the culture, the value system is already more there to embrace that. And there are other countries where it will be a very, very challenging process. And yet the evolution is already going into this direction. And yes, a very big important information or transformation men have to go through is to understand that a growing power inside women is not a threat for them. It's not a criticism of them, so that men are not fearing powerful women. In the moment, a powerful woman is still considered as something negative. I like to call it Cleopatra's curse, because since over 2,000 years, since Cleopatra, the last pharaoh of ancient Egypt, we have this belief in our society that a powerful woman is something dangerous, not only for herself, but also for others. So as long men subconsciously fear powerful women and don't know how to deal with them, don't know how to talk with them, as long that is in place as a bias in the brains, a lot of men, sadly, will fight against the rise of more female leaders. So men have to really learn to feel safe and have to learn that it's natural, that leadership is gender neutral, and that powerful female leaders are not a curse and a danger for all of us, that they are the solution to have true partnership between men and women. And that not only from the board in the boardroom, but also in the bedroom. So because our statistics around divorce in our country here in the United States, it's just horrifying. Every second marriage goes into a divorce, which will end, I believe, when men and women learn that powerful women are not a threat, but really the solution for a lot of problems we are facing as a society right now.
Well, I think equality in the bedroom is a conversation we'll have to have on another day. In the few moments that we have together, Sylvia, how can our listeners find your book?
The listeners can find the book on Amazon just simply putting in my name, Sylvia Becker-Hill, and Sylvia with S-Y-L-V-I-A, and Becker-Hill with a hyphen in the middle, or they go to my webpage, uberwomen.com.
Wonderful. Sylvia, it's been a joy to have you as my guest today. Thank you very much for joining me on Speaking with Influence.
A big, big pleasure. Thank you, my dear.
And we are going to be taking a break next Monday because it is the Memorial Day holiday. So we hope you'll be back on Monday, June 6th, when we have another wonderful leading lady interview. And please do join us this Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific time. Our leading lady this Friday will be Delinda Forsythe, the CEO and founder of Innovated Commercial Environments. The topic will be Know Your Why, Invest in Your Company's Legacy. Until next week, we hope you have a safe and prosperous week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.